Right now we say hi to Joe Orsolini. Joe's been on this show before. He may have been in your living room. He's the president of College Aid Planners. He helps families plan for college and those expenses. Joe, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks for having me.
And I guess now is kind of an important time. We invited you to come back now because right now families are at least looking at schools, right?
Yes. Now is the time that the high school seniors are out picking colleges and looking at schools and getting their applications in for next fall.
So, yeah, but they're not thinking about paying for them right now. They're just picking their schools now.
Well, that's one of the problems, and that's why it's so important for parents to get involved with the whole which schools we're looking at. The financial aid system is going to turn on in October. That's when the financial aid system turns on. And schools will start handing their money out sometime in November or December. So if you're picking schools that aren't going to fit the family budget, if you're, you know, do the financial aid, it's like coming, it's not first come, first serve financial aid. It's like coming home to dinner late. So if they start handing that money out and you find out these schools aren't going to work for you, it's going to be too late to double back and pick some schools that are going to be more affordable. So you got to get it right.
So would you say then the starting point is schools we think we can afford or schools we can get into or schools that we aspire to? I mean, how would you build that list?
You need to have – it's okay to have all of the above, but you certainly have to have schools that, one, you know, you can get into that are academic fits, and two, that are also financial fits. Nothing's worse than picking a whole bunch of schools that – you find out, hey, we're not going to be able to afford these schools. And the problem is, you know, you may not find this out the price-wise until sometime in March when the final award letters come out. And by then, it's too late. So then you're scrambling trying to figure something out, and that's, you know, you may get dumped into community college. Not just anything wrong with community college, but it blows up your plans.
Yeah, don't say dumped into community college. You're talking to a grad of Joliet Junior College. The Wolves did me right, I think. In fact, really, this is maybe no consolation to you if your heart is broke. But I got some of the best education of my life at Joliet Junior College.
Absolutely. There's nothing wrong
with those are college professors there. Yeah. Those are college students there. And the fact that it's a commuter college doesn't, I don't think, change the amount of learning you can do there.
No, absolutely not. Nothing wrong with the 2+2 option. You know, do the 2 years at community college, then move on to the 4-year school. Some of my best friends from college were done the 2+2 option. They're, you know, incredibly successful. It's you, not the school you attend, that makes you successful.
Well, but you want to go away to the fun school.
You want to go
to the U of somewhere or someplace that's a private school and it's on a leafy campus.
Yeah, you know, that's – hey, I admit it. I'd love to go away to school. But the thing is, you want to make sure that you're doing what's going to be financially smart. Nothing's worse than, you know, going away to school for 4 years, and then you're in so much debt that you have to come back in, you know, 25, 26 and live in your basement again.
So what's the plan to save money or finance an education?
Well, the thing is, the key is to know what your family has available for college. I'm amazed that parents, even at this late stage in the game, that haven't sat down and figured out amongst themselves or even talked to the kids of, this is what we have available for college. I had a couple of meetings over the weekend. Parents, I said, what can you afford? They hadn't even had that discussion yet.
Well, should parents, if their kid is a senior or junior, I don't know, should they already have a little nest egg of money ready to go?
In an ideal world, yes. In reality, you know, that's not always the case. So if you don't have the money available, it's time to come up with, you know, another plan.
Well, but even if you do, I suppose most people are going to borrow some money, right?
Yes. Certainly the kids are going to get their student loan. The federal government will lend you $27,000 over the course of 4 years, so that's, you know, one piece of it.
27 for 4 years. So
for 4 years, over the course of 4 years. 5,500 freshman year, 65 sophomore, 75 junior and senior year. That's all that you can borrow in your name as a student without somebody co-signing for you.
From the federal government?
From the federal government.
Do you recommend people do that?
I have no problem with the federal student loans. You know, I think it's good that the kids have skin in the game. If the parents want to help them out down the line, you know, fantastic. You get a certain grade point average, you know, get out in 4 years.
$5,500 ain't going to get you through the U of I. So what else then? Where do I go for money after that?
Well, beyond that, there's also some tax credits that are available for families. Don't discount that. There's a $2,500 American Opportunity Credit that's going to be added back into the mix. And beyond that is what can the parents pay on a monthly basis. You're either going to money you've saved, money you earn and cash flow as you go along, or money you're willing to borrow.
Where should you borrow if you have to borrow more?
You know, the federal government will lend parents money through something called a PLUS loan. It's a federal parent loan program. You can also go to private student loans. And the way I really recommend for a lot of folks is home equity. You know, these days people have home equity if they still have home equity available. that's really one of your best options, because if you're borrowing through a Parent Plus loan or a private student loan, something bad happens in life, you know, you're out in the streets, and but you still have that student loan debt hanging over your head. Student loan debt never goes away. You can't get rid of it in bankruptcy. The thing with home equity is something bad happens. Yeah, nobody wants to put their home on the line, but if something bad happens, you get to walk away from that. That's all part of the bankruptcy proceeding. So, you know, from that standpoint, it's more flexible for families. And also the student loan interest is deductible on a home equity loan, using it to pay for student loans, versus the student loan, you're limited in the amount and also the you're based on your income.
I'm trying to think of what the interest rate consequences are. Say I'm paying 4% on my home loan. Some mm-hmm. people are, right? Maybe
yep.
4 or 5%.
Yep.
So now I'm going to keep paying on that loan 4 or 5%. That's probably a better rate, though, than I would get if I was borrowing.
The Federal Plus Loan next year, Plus Loan Program, is going to be 7% fixed.
Yeah.
On some of the private student loans, I've seen upwards. I had a few clients come through. They were, and one had a 12.85 interest rates.
Really?
On a fixed interest rate, yeah. They were very expensive.
What are you
shocked.
Estimating the cost of college is right now?
When I'm working with families, my goal is to take a $40,000 to $60,000, actually $70,000 to $40,000 sticker price, get you somewhere in the mid to low 20s is really my goal in working with families.
I don't know what you mean by that.
$25,000 a year. That's where we're kind of targeting.
That's how much money I should be ready to have. $25,000 a year.
$25,000 a year out of pocket costs to the family.
And why did you just reference 40 to 70K?
40 to 70K is going to be the sticker price.
That's what they're going to charge. But then your kid got to be average, so we'll knock 10 off. And here's some loans and grants.
Exactly.
So schools do that all the time, and I don't exactly understand why. Then why do they call it a $60,000 a year room and board and tuition when really nobody pays that? Everybody's paying 42.
Well, it's at the private schools, nobody pays sticker price. State schools, a lot of times, state schools don't have as much merit money. Merit aid is we want your kid to come here, so we're going to knock something off the price. And the problem with the state schools is a lot of times kids want to go out of state. And they want to go to the flagship school, right? They want to go to Indiana University or Wisconsin-Madison. And those schools are, you know, $40,000, $50,000 a year, and you will pay sticker price for those schools.
Give me an example of a family that, I don't know, I hate to say this. Maybe tell me one that did it right, but give me an example of somebody who did it wrong, too.
Well, one of my classic stories and really got me on the whole student loan debt kick was I had a young lady come into my office a couple years ago, and she came out of one of these elite colleges, $172,000 in debt for her undergrad. I didn't work with her going in. I got her coming out. But she also wanted to go to law school, put another $140,000 on top of that. Now, it took her a while to get into law school, and that was compounding in the background the whole time, piling on. So when she got done with law school, her student loan debt was – her payment was $65,000 a year. She had to pay $65,000 a year. Now, her goal in life was to be a prosecutor, work for the Cook County State's Attorney's Office. Well, the starting salary there was $59,000. So on day one, you know, when she hops out of bed and heads to the shower, she is $6,000 in the hole for the rest of that year and hasn't even been to lunch yet. You know, if this girl ever moves out of her parents' house or buys a car, it'll be a miracle. The one thing she's got going for her is if she does end up getting married, she'll know it's true love because no one's signing on board for $65,000 a year.
That's heartbreaking. That's
yeah.
a sad story. And evidently, they did a lot of things right. You're smart enough to go to law school. You said it was an elite school, an mm-hmm. expensive one, so I presume it's one I would know. Shame on the schools, first of all,
yeah.
for even allowing that.
Well, you know, that's part of the problem is they will let you borrow whatever you want. The Plus Loan Program has no income qualification. So mom and dad can go and borrow whatever they want. I had a young man in my office a few years ago. His mom made $13,000. He wanted to go be a fiction writer. So the federal government was going to lend his mom, who made $13,000, $22,000 a year to send him to college. I finally had to pull the kid in and say, do your mom a favor, go sit at Starbucks for the next 4 years and write 35 books and be done with it.
We have some questions and some comments. You may be one of them. 312-981-7200. An observation, a question. We're talking about college-age financing because your kids are picking schools right now. They're driving. A friend of mine was just over the weekend, had a conversation with a friend, and they're looking at this school. What about that school? It is so much fun. You know, I mean, it's also terrifying, and it's obviously not for everybody. But if you're fortunate enough to sort of live through that little bit of a dream of where am I going to send my kid to school and what are their options and picking one out, it's challenging, it's frightening, it's soul-searching, and it's expensive. And right now is the time a lot of you are going through that little dance. 312-981-7200. You can call or text WGN. Got a text that poured in during the break from a friend who said, that's false when you said, John, that nobody pays retail at those small private schools. I don't even know if this person is referring to small private schools, but they said, we paid full retail for college. It was a blessing and a curse. I guess the blessing part is, you know, they must have been able to do that.
Yeah.
Because most folks, I don't think, are so fortunate, and they get some sort of assistance. By the way, every year about this time, we also hear from people who are ticked at the University of Illinois because of their admissions policies. What are you hearing about that these days?
Well, yeah, I mean, the problem is U of I is a flagship school. So, you know, they're always going to get the cream of the crop students. They also have a mandate that they have to take students from every county in Illinois. So, you know, if you're from DuPage County or Lake County, where there's a lot of good qualified students, you may get pushed out. You know, the other problem I kind of have on a personal basis with U of I is that it's hard to jump in between majors. If you don't get into the right college you want to get into, it's hard to move back and forth. There's a lot of competition down there.
What percentage of the students are from China that go to U of I?
I haven't seen this year's figures. I think it was pretty close to 10% last year. In fact, they were even doing the football games in Chinese. They had Chinese broadcasters.
You're kidding.
No.
Of course, those students pay, you talk about paying full freight, they pay a premium. I mean, that's a cash cow for
yes.
the U of I.
And that's why, you know, schools like the foreign students, like out-of-state students, because they will be hit for full price. That's the problem with, if you're from Illinois, when you go out-of-state to the flagship schools, you know, you're a cash cow to some other state's university system.
Huh. Joe Orsolino, because we don't have reciprocity in Illinois with many of these other states.
Actually, we in the last few years have gotten it. There's something called the Midwest Student Exchange Program, and it's a number of schools that have agreed, schools here in the Midwest that have agreed to play nice with each other.
Do we have it in Wisconsin and Iowa for Illinois?
It's Michigan, Indiana, Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota.
Really?
Jumps over Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, and North Dakota.
Reciprocity with Illinois.
Well, the deal is if you go to one of these out-of-state schools and you get in the program, you end up paying roughly 150% of the in-state tuition rate. So it's not full reciprocity, but it's a great deal. It's more typically your second-tier schools in these states, not second class, but second tier, like the Northern,
sure.
Southern, Eastern, Westerns. But there's some great values there. If you want to be in the mid-20s, that's one of the ways to do it.
Okay, but 150 is not 100%. It's not 50, it's not even.
Correct.
Lots of phone calls for Joe Orsolino. He is the president of College Aid Planners. Let's pick up a phone line. We'll start with Maurice. You're on WGN. Hi, Maurice. How can we help you?
Hi, guys. Listen, I had a quick question about your college savings there. My wife and I, we hold decent-paying jobs. I work for the federal government, and she works for the city. And I think it's kind of late in the game to be saving money for college. My kid's 13 years old, and, well, she's in eighth grade. Next year, she'll be going to high school. So she has, my wife has this crazy idea that she's going to use her deferred comp to help pay for college. Now, deferred comp is a kind of supplemental type retirement fund there for city employees. I have something equivalent to that, which is called a thrift savings plan, which I get matching dollars for that. So I just want to know, do you think that's a good idea to start tapping into your retirement savings to pay for some of the college? And if you know of anybody that's done that before, I just don't think it's a smart thing, because when you're in retirement, man, look, you need every dime. You need every dime that you can muster. Insurance costs are very expensive when you retire. You just really need to watch your money. And I think paying for college education out of the retirement system is probably not a good thing. So I just want to hear your thoughts about that.
Yeah, as a general rule, I'd say yes. You don't want to be tapping retirement to pay for college or jeopardizing your retirement. You know, as an adult, you have to do three things. Save for retirement, save for your kids' college, and pay your house off. Ideally, you're doing two of those three things pretty steadily. Now, do I have clients that have, hey, we've saved a ton of money for retirement, and we're in our late 40s, early 50s, and going to stop and divert that money to pay for college? Sure, but you want to make sure that you've got your retirement set up.
That's not what he's asking you, though. He's got money.
I guess to answer that, to your specific point, you know, it's okay to tap retirement if you think you have enough there already. You know, if you're concerned, hey, we're not going to have enough, or, you know, we can't live on what we have saved, then you need to be taking a look at doing something different rather than tapping the retirement.
Right. Do you think at this stage of the game, it's probably a little bit too late to start doing that?
Eighth grader.
Seeing that she has about four more years to go.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Start saving now. If nothing else, you're going to get used to writing that check. You know, if you've got a kid going to a state school, Illinois State, next year. You're writing about a $1,400, $1,500 a month check when they get there. So get used to writing that check now. So maybe you're putting away $700, you know, half of that cost. Get used to writing that check now, because it's a lot easier to go from, you know, $700 to $1,400 than it is straight to the $1,400. You know, it's like running a marathon. You don't go run the 26.2 right out of the
box.
And
your point has always been, and start to adjust your your schools. If that's the money math for you, now get the school that matches the money.
Absolutely.
Joe, I'm out of time. Maybe you come by on my Saturday show sometime
soon. Happy to do so.
All of our phone lines are ringing. How can folks reach you if they want to?
Best thing is go to my website, www.collegeaidplanners.com.
CollegeAidPlanners.com. Joe Orsolini, thanks for coming by.